One of the dangers of the familiarity of Christmas is it becomes all too familiar and we cease to be amazed at the wonder of the Christmas story, that God stepped down and became one of us, that God came to this very earth, the earth that he had created, to rescue us and to bring us back to him. Well, we're in the season of Advent, and of course today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And, I mean, who's been opening an Advent calendar throughout Advent? Let's have some honest people. There's one at the back there. Any over here? Yes, we have some over here who have been opening their Advent calendars and counting down through Advent with that sense of expectancy. It's very much what Advent is like, isn't it? That sense of expectancy, that sense of building, that sense of anticipation. It's what the whole season of Advent is like. And I love Advent, that opportunity for us to turn our thoughts to Christmas and to think, what is this really all about? Because we do Christmas year after year. What is it really all about? And yet often what should be a time or an opportunity for reflection, an opportunity to think about what this really is all about, becomes a very busy time, a time full of things to do, lists with loads of stuff to be done, presents to be bought, presents to be wrapped. And then we find really as Christmas is just around the corner, Christmas Eve today, just around the corner, we find that really we haven't had much time at all to reflect and to think about Christmas. As a child, Advent for me was kind of a bit of a nuisance, if I'm honest, because it was just that countdown to the main event. Just wanted to get to the main day, Christmas Day, when I could open all my presents or some of my presents that I'd received. That sense of waiting, that sense of expectancy, that sense of looking forward to the main event is not just something which is experienced by loads of children around the world today. But it's been experienced by many people, both young and old, for generations past. Prior to that very first Christmas, 2,000 plus years ago, that sense of expectancy was present. It was building, that sense of expectancy leading up to the very first Christmas. What were they expecting for? Were they expecting for presents or turkeys or trees? Well, of course not. But they were expectant for a Messiah, a chosen one, a rescuer, a redeemer to come and rescue them. And with every generation that passed before that first Christmas, the expectancy built, the expectancy built. And the people trusted, they trusted that God was going to send one into the world to rescue and to redeem, to bring people back to God. And so at that very first Christmas comes the promised one, Jesus the Messiah, God himself, God come to this earth, God made flesh, God to the rescue. And I've called the message this evening, which is only going to be a short message, Christmas Trust. And I want us to think about Christmas Trust this evening. And firstly, I want us to look at just a very few brief examples in the Old Testament that show people waiting and expecting one to come, that expectancy of a Messiah, a Saviour to come into the world. And then for us, as we approach yet another Christmas, my prayer would be that we would be stirred with that same longing, that same expectancy and hope. Do you feel expectant this evening? Do you feel hopeful? You see, Jesus' first coming was not the end of the story. The Christmas story doesn't end with Jesus born in a manger. It progresses to Jesus crucified, Jesus risen, that we might be brought back to God, to make us right with God. And that leads to an expectancy that Jesus will come again, just as he came the first time, only different. He'll return and he'll come as the King of Kings. And that expectancy continues to build. So let's just look at a few very brief examples from the Old Testament of expectancy or hope or longing for this coming Messiah. This will be very much a whistle-stop tour. So right back at the beginning of the Bible, we read in Genesis chapter 3 of humans, that's us, men and women rebelling against God and just saying, do you know what, God, we know that you've created everything perfect, but we'll do things our own way. Thank you very much. And so Adam and Eve decide that as great as everything is, they know better, and they'll do things how they want to do it. And they reject God's rule. They reject God's paradise. And we read of God telling them that there'll be judgment because of that. They'll reap what they've sown. And so things get very difficult for them. It's hard for them to grow crops. The relationship between one another breaks down. And things start to go from bad to worse. And then we read this in Genesis chapter 3. That God says this of the serpent, the devil, who has deceived them into rebelling against him. And he says that though the serpent has struck the heel of humanity, though the serpent has deceived humanity, though the serpent has led us as humans away from God, yet there will be one coming who will crush the head of Satan, crush the head of evil, crush the head of everything that Satan represents and sin. That promise of salvation, that promise of a rescuer, that expectancy of a rescuer coming isn't just found in the New Testament. It's not even just found in the middle of the Bible, but right at the beginning of the Bible, in the third chapter of the Bible, when we read about us turning our backs on God, we also read about God's faithfulness. Never does God turn his back on us, but he is faithful and he is good, and he promises to send one who will deal with sin. And then as we move on in the Bible, further on in Genesis, we read of God saying something very similar to this guy Abraham, and he makes this promise with Abraham that he is going to send one. There's going to be one coming from his descendants who's going to be a rescuer and who's going to bring the people back to God. And then we go on even further in the Bible, and then we read of God's people who are not just slaves to sin, but now they're physical slaves in Egypt too, to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And God sends a savior along to rescue them. He sends this guy along, and he sends this guy to go to Pharaoh and say, well, let my people go. And Pharaoh's not so sure. He thinks, well, I'm not sure about this. He takes some persuasion, but then after some persuasion, he does let the people go. But then I'm sure you're familiar with that story. He changes his mind and he comes after them. But this savior leads them to dry land, to safe land, crossing the Red Sea to safe land. Was this the savior? Was this the promised one? Well, no, this was Moses, a great leader, but not the savior, not the promised one, not the rescuer. He pointed forward to one who was to come, who would not just rescue people out of Egypt, but rescue people from sin. That's me and you, and bring us into freedom, into the place that God always wanted us to be. And we go on in the Bible and we can read of many different people who had this expectancy, this sense of one coming who would rescue the people. We read of David, who was a king, but he wasn't the king, he was just a king. And he pointed forward to one coming, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whose kingdom wouldn't be a limited time like David, but a kingdom that would go on and on and on forever and ever. And throughout the Old Testament, right from Genesis 3, right through the Bible, we read of this expectancy, this looking forward to a coming Savior, a Messiah, a chosen one who will bring the people back to God. And so we read many prophecies. Here's some familiar words which we often read around Christmas time from Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there'll be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Familiar words which we often hear at services like this at Christmas time, but that promise of a coming Messiah, a chosen one who would rescue the people of God, those who put their trust in him, he would rescue them and bring them into the freedom that God intended. And there's promise after promise, prophecy after prophecy, all building this expectation and anticipation towards that very first Christmas, that very first Christmas when the Messiah, Jesus, comes into this world. And you know, we're told in Hebrews, if you read the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, that all these people that lived before the very first Christmas, the likes of David and Abraham and Moses, all these people lived by faith. They trusted that God would send one who would come to the rescue. They lived trusting that God would provide a Messiah. And then we read in Hebrews 11, verse 39, that all these people that lived before the first Christmas were all commended for their faith, their trust in God. Yet none of them received what they had promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The promise that they were hoping for to be fulfilled, their trust that they put in God, they didn't see fulfilled in their lifetime, but it came into fulfillment at that very first Christmas, when that rescuer that they'd been hoping for, the Messiah, to redeem them and to bring them back into that relationship with God, was sent into this world. Jesus, born of Mary, born in Bethlehem. And we hear those words, the angel speaking to Joseph, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she's going to give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." How amazing that God, the God who created absolutely everything that there is, created this world which we are in right now, would step down onto this earth, would become a man to bring us back to him. We were lost without him, and yet God was faithful to his promise to bring a rescuer. You know, Christmas is God's rescue plan put into action. And if you don't know the rescuer this Christmas time, the Saviour, if you don't know him, then each and every one of us needs that rescue. We need that rescue from sin and from our rebellion against God. We need bringing back into that relationship with our Creator. Here's a challenge for you in 2019. Try living just one single day without doing or saying or thinking anything wrong. And you'll fail. You'll fail miserably, just like we all would. Because human beings, we're corrupt. We need a rescuer. We need a Saviour to bring us back to God. And the people of God before the very first Christmas, they knew that. They knew they needed saving. They knew they needed rescuing. And they put their trust, people like Abraham, people like David, put their trust that God would send Jesus at just the right time. And really the question for us, and the question I want to leave you with this evening, as we go and sing another carol and then have some mince pies, which will be really nice. The question is this: do you trust in God? Do you trust that he sent a Saviour? Do you know that you need saving and rescuing? You see, at that very first Christmas, Jesus the Messiah was born into this world as the fulfillment of all the hope and all the expectation of the ages, of many years previous. He was born into this world to set the captives free. As we sing in that carol, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, and born to give us second birth. The question is, do we trust him? Do we know him this Christmas time? Is our expectation, is our hope this Christmas time wrapped up in the gift of Christmas, in Jesus the Saviour, the Rescuer? Or is our hope and our trust in something else? Maybe in, I don't know, presents or family or jobs or whatever? Or is our hope in the Messiah? It's so easy, isn't it, at Christmas, in the busyness of Christmas, to lose sight of what Christmas is really all about. But it's even more easy, I would suggest, in just the busyness of life in general throughout the year, to focus on jobs or careers or families or money or any number of things, and to lose sight that the only source of true life is found in the gift of Christmas, Jesus the Saviour. Let that hope and expectancy stir in your hearts this Christmas time. That hope, that truth that God stepped down, came to this earth to bring us back to him. May we trust him, just like the many who went before, the many who went before that very first Christmas, trusting and expecting a Messiah. May we trust him in the Saviour, the one in whom is only true life and true peace. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you this evening for the time that we've had together. We thank you for the familiar carols that we've been able to sing, but the incredible, timeless truth that we've been able to remind ourselves of, that you, Lord Jesus, stepped down onto this earth, that you became one of us to bring good news to all people who trust in you. And Lord, our prayer this Christmas time would be that for those of us who have already trusted in you, we would be reminded afresh of the wonder and the joy of a Saviour come to bring us back to you. And Lord, for any here this evening who don't know you, Lord, for any here who have not trusted in you, our prayer would be that by your Spirit, that you would show them their need of a Saviour, open their eyes, that they may trust in you too, and come to know the joy that is found only in knowing, trusting, and following you. So, Lord, we pray this Christmas time that you would help us to look to you, to know your presence amongst us. Lord, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Lord, may we look to you, knowing your goodness and your faithfulness, knowing that there is no life other than that found in trusting in the Saviour. So we give you thanks and praise this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.